Welcome to Calvary. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. I can wish you both Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. As the song says, Emmanuel is God with us, and that we are we receive the revelation of God through the gift of Jesus. And that's what we come here today to worship. Is Emmanuel, our Savior. Let's bow our heads and pray. For this day, we thank you, O God, and we pray that on the cusp of this new year, that you will continue to lead and guide us, not only in our lives, but as a church, that we renew our hearts and minds for your service. In Jesus' name we pray. It's wonderful to have you here. I want to give you a brief announcement. For a couple of weeks in the insert, we've had an announcement that the announcements at this service are going to start early, so you have to talk a lot faster. We're going to have announcements about 10 minutes of before the service starts, so we can have more worship and praise time during the service itself. So we'll begin our announcements. The liturgist will do that beginning next week, starting 10 minutes before 11 o'clock, 10:50, right? That makes it 10:50. I am so glad that you are here in the house of God this morning to worship our Lord and Savior. Let us greet one another with the peace of Christ. Thank you, sweetheart. You're so great. No. Yes, I see that.
Well, good morning, Calvary.
Oh, wow.
What a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know if you read on the front of your bulletin, but I just want to say this out loud. Happy New Year. From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another, and that's found in John. Amen. We give the Lord praise and glory. There are no other special announcements. They are in your bulletin. So we will get started as soon as my family sits down. Hi, family.
There is an announcement about the upper room.
Oh, we do have announcements.
Thank you.
There may actually be some in the pews. There might be some, yeah.
I just wanted to let you all know, many of you have been asking about the upper room for January, and it has not arrived yet. We don't know what's happened to it. We've been calling them and trying to find out where it is, but at this point, we have not received it yet. We're very sorry, since tomorrow is New Year's Day, and you're starting a new book and a new year on top of that. If you haven't picked up your offering envelopes, they will be in the narthex over here, if you can pick them up. That's all.
Well, let's turn to the back of your bulletins for our opening words. Arise, shine, the light you have been waiting for is here.
Darkness has vanished.
God's light of hope floods the earth. Lord, make us ready to journey to this light.
Prepare our hearts to receive this light. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to page 249, we will sing There's a Song in the Air. Please turn to 884. We will have our affirmation of faith. We believe in the one God, creator and sustainer of all things, father of all nations, the source of all goodness and beauty, all truth and love. We believe in Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, our teacher, example, and redeemer, the Savior of the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the life of love and prayer, and in grace equal to every need. We believe in the Word of God, contained in the Old and New Testaments, as the sufficient rule both of faith and of practice. We believe in the Church,
those who are united in the living Lord for the purpose of worship and service. We believe in the reign of God as the divine will be realized in human society and in the family of God, where we are all brothers and sisters. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness and in the life everlasting. Amen.
Zachary's going to come up here and help me out. All right, girls, you can help me out today. We're going to be talking about something that's happening tomorrow. Can anybody tell me what that says? Happy New Year. I tried to find a banner that said Happy New Year on it, but the day before New Year's Eve is just not a good time to find something in the store. So I had to sort of make it up on my own. But this is a banner that would go over the door, and I want to talk about New Year's as kind of a door into a new time of life. We go from one room to another, and you can think of New Year's as the door that goes into a new time of life. Now, I want to suggest to you that we just finished and celebrated Christmas. We're still in the Christmas season. And what do we want to remember or take with us from Christmas in the new year? What do we want to take with us that we celebrated over the Christmas holiday? Can you think of something that might be good for us to take with us? That's a hard question, isn't it? Scott, I'm going to suggest to you four things that we could take with us. We talked about this during Advent. We talked about Jesus as our hope. So let's see. Can somebody write hope on this banner? Who would like to write hope? Okay, Zachary, write hope on this banner. So that's one thing we can take with us from Christmas. Now, another thing I want to suggest that we can take with us, H-O-P-E, there you go. And the next thing I want to suggest that we take with us is peace. Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace and comes to reconcile us with God. So we have peace with God and peace with one another. Who would like to write the word peace on our banner? Could you do that, Rachel? Can you write peace? P-E-A-C-E. All right, thank you. Now there's another thing. We have hope, we have peace, we have joy. We have joy in our hearts when we have accepted Jesus. When Jesus is in our lives, we are full of joy. Who would like to write joy on our banner? Would you like to write joy on our banner? J-O-Y. All right. Thank you very much. And the final thing is what Jesus comes to tell us is about God's love. So love is probably the most important thing we can take from Christmas all the way into the new year. And I need someone to write the word love for me. Can you do that, Zachary? L-O-V-E, love. Thank you for helping. All right. You know, we sometimes say Merry Christmas. We have our friend Andy who reminds us, even in the time of the year that it's hot and sweaty, he'll say Merry Christmas. And that's exactly what I want you to think of. I want you to think of Christmas all year long. It's not over just because December 25th is over. It is not over because what? God's hope, God's peace, God's joy, and God's love goes with us into the new year. And that's our banner. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, O God, for this wonderful gift of love, joy, peace, and hope that you bring us through the Christ child. And help us to take these things with us during the year, that we don't forget, dear God, that your presence and your love stays with us all year long. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, here we go. You may have some candy. We continue in our service. Let us prepare ourselves to offer our gifts, our tithes and offerings to the church this morning. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. For this gracious gift of love, we thank you, O God. Help us to open our hearts to receive this gift, not just today, but every day. Especially in the coming year, we give you thanks and praise for all your goodness. Use us today and use our gifts that we bring. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Joseph was looking for a place to sleep when Mary had secrets that her heart was keeping. They were glad, so glad. They were glad, so glad. Their lives are changed by a baby boy. A host of bright angels tell the shepherd band. When the angel said go, they obeyed his command, yeah. They were glad, so glad. They were glad, so glad. Their lives are changed by a baby boy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, by a baby boy. Hallelujah, 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 by a baby boy. Said to follow a brand new star, and no matter how deep and no matter how far, yeah, they were glad, so glad. They were glad, so glad. Their lives are changed by a baby boy. Hallelujah, 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 by a baby boy. Hallelujah, I said hallelujah, hallelujah, by a baby boy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Their lives are changed by a baby boy. Their lives are changed by a baby boy.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, George. Thank you, Andy. Thank you.
Josh and Joseph get to eat today.
We're so glad he's able to be with us for a while, for a short time. We know, most of us already by now, the Jim Stowers passed away this week, and Mary is here today and has brought her family with her. And we want to pray for you and keep you in our hearts and prayers. The service has been set for this Wednesday at 10 o'clock here at Calvary. So you will want to speak with Mary or pray for her and her family. And just keep them close to your heart right now for their loss. And also, Teresa Long is here, and her husband Chuck passed away, and services for him are being planned for later in the month. Some people have been asking, is January the 20th at 11 o'clock at Rivermead across the street. For that, it's a memorial service. We are not exempt, because it's Christmas time, from loss and grief. And we come to God in prayer for those needs that are near and dear to us. Roxana Bonner is in the Orange Park Hospital and is doing all right, but is probably going to have surgery. Laura Law is home now after her recovery process from a stroke. Lori Lambing is getting ready to have back surgery on the 3rd, January 3rd. And Iris Guy just had knee surgery, and look, she's right here worshiping today with her daughter. We have a powerful God, His healing wonders to proclaim. Let's bow our heads and open our hearts, and if you will, you may share the name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in life that you would like to have God's healing touch to surround in a very special way. Let us pray. These are not just names to us, O God. They are loved ones, people we love and are in grief over or sadness. We pray for their healing. We pray that you receive them into your arms of glory. We pray, O God, for the power of your love to be at work in us before we know it or feel it. Your love is there. Give to us, dear God, whatever it is that we need. If we need strength, give us strength. If we need comfort, give us comfort. If we need hope, peace, love, and joy, we know that you can and do heal us and give us your grace. We pray in the name of the one who taught us to pray together when we say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
If you would please stand and turn to 219 in your hymnal, we'll sing What Child Is This? seated.
Thank you, Bob. Our scripture this morning is found in Luke chapter 2, and the verses will be 22 through 39. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that in the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there, fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
All our musicians every week, and we have such a fantastic music ministry here at Calvary. But she doesn't like me to do it, but I want to thank Robin this morning for her reading and leadership in our service as a liturgist and in charge of the liturgists. She has a way of reading scripture. And I love just listening to her read it. I don't need to read it. I just hear her, what she has to say. So I thank you, Robin. This time of the year, we live between two worlds. One world is dying, and the other is struggling to be born. It's a new year. The scripture passage for the Sunday after Christmas follows Simeon and Anna, two faithful servants of God who served for years in the temple in Jerusalem. We see this morning their joy at the presentation of the Christ child, as was customary for the parents to do. And I read this passage, and my mind sort of went to something. It took a detour, and I wondered about the years and years of waiting that that Simeon and Anna both went through. Did they ever wonder, I thought, if God would be faithful to his word to them? Did they ever wonder if the teachers had perhaps even deceived them? For their waiting did not seem to come to fruition. Did they ever doubt that the Messiah was coming? I want to think about doubt this morning, for doubt infects even the best of God's servants and has a place in our faith. Doubting Thomas has spiritual children throughout not just the Bible, but in our present day. I have encountered, you might be surprised to know, more doubt during the holiday season than almost any other time of year. We place a lot of expectations on our Christmas season for always being cheerful and happy. When it doesn't occur, we sometimes doubt. So let's allow Simeon and Anna, along with Thomas and others, to help us with our own struggle with doubt this morning. I believe that any experience of joy expressed by Simeon and Anna were preceded perhaps by long periods of doubt, anxiety, and questions. They were human and not excused from the doubt expressed throughout the Bible, as well as human experience. I believe that doubt is the backside of faith, and faith is the front side of doubt. The two are linked together like Siamese twins. Anyone as joyous as Simeon and Anna over the vindication of their faith must have had a season of doubt as a prelude. There are situations that I will share with you that I think are reasons why we experience doubt, particularly during the holiday season. For example, I've seen the child who did not come home for Christmas create doubt in the family, or the one who did come home but created havoc while they were here. The failure of all our gift giving to bring joy to our world. Somehow the gifts can leave us feeling empty and lost. If the Christ child is to bring joy, where is it? The aftermath of Christmas frequently is that it has failed to bring joy or peace to our world. Where is that joy and peace today? But I do want to share with you that there's a difference between doubt and unbelief. I think you can doubt and believe, but unbelief is something entirely different. It was a pastor who spoke at a university, and a young man came up to her after she finished talking and said, "I don't like what you said in there." And the pastor said, "Okay, tell me the part you didn't like about what I said." And he said, "Well, I didn't actually hear you. I just don't like preachers," he said. And she asked him, "Well, what are you then?" And he said, "I'm a seeker." And she said, "Well, that's interesting. Where do you and the seekers meet?" And he said, "Oh, we don't meet. And so she said, well, what are you seeking? And he said, we're seeking the truth. And she said, well, what have you read? He said, well, we haven't read anything in particular. And so this conversation went on a little bit, and finally she looked at him and said, I don't think you're seeking. I think you're running. I think you're hiding. For you see, not to decide is to decide. And you have decided that you want to hide in unbelief. He did not reply. But that's unbelief. There is a place in the Christian life for doubt. Doubt, I believe, is the prelude to faith. Doubt is kind of like the front porch of a house. You have to go through it to get to the main house. You have to go through doubt to get to faith. Before Gideon was able to be used by God, he cried out, if the Lord is with us, why has this befallen us? He had doubt. Or Job, in his struggle, he shouted, I cry unto you and you do not answer, he said to the Lord. He had doubt. And he also cursed the day that he was born. And even Jesus himself on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? No one really possesses his faith until he has fought for it. The capacity to doubt is probably one of our greatest powers, and the greatest thing for our society. There was a time in the world that the earth was considered flat, if you remember your history, you know that, and that it was believed that the sun rotated around the earth. And that idea was challenged, but it was not very popular. A few brave souls dared to doubt that theory. And every scientific advance begins with doubt. Galileo was right when he called doubt the father of discovery. Now, it may be shocking for you to learn, I think Jesus was a doubter. He doubted that violence was the answer, so he said, let us forgive one another. He doubted that long prayers and dietary laws were essential to the faith, so he talked about a simple faith. He doubted that the Samaritans were an inferior race, so he told the parable about the good Samaritan and a bad priest. The capacity to doubt is a prelude to faith. Strong faith has to be fought for. I've been a pastor now for over 30 years, and I've observed people sometimes growing in their faith, sometimes stagnant, and other people going backward in their faith. And one time I had a young man visit me and wanted to talk. He said, I have a crisis of faith. He said, I want to leave the church because I have so many doubts. I don't think I can stay. Well, I asked him if he would come on a hospital visit with me. I needed to go see somebody in the hospital. And he said, fine, and we could talk on the way there. And he came with me to the room. And I had gone to see this young doctor who had inoperable cancer. And he was hooked up to all sorts of tubes and not doing well, but he was awake and alert. He talked, and he wanted to talk about his life and his death. We talked about it, and I read scripture, and we prayed together. And all the time, this young man was standing there at the foot of the bed listening to all of this. It took about 20 minutes. And then there were tears in the eyes of the patient as we turned to leave. And we left in complete silence. Nobody spoke. The young man did not speak to me again until we got in the car and came back to church. And he turned to me and he said, "I see things differently now. Eternity has broken into my life. And I want to start over with Christ." Our doubts are part of the faith journey. The journey, the road that we're on of faith, we pray, is guided by the Holy Spirit. That God's presence and power is made known to us on this journey that we call faith. And yes, we have moments of doubt. But we are promised, that God will be with us, that we are not alone on this journey, and God will receive all of you, your entire life. God will take, God will use, God will work with you, God will keep you safe and watch over you. This is the beginning of a new year. It's a good time to move from skepticism to faith. And so I would just say to you today to celebrate your doubts and see it as a prelude, if you will, to a deep and abiding, mature faith. Because strong faith must always be fought for. Keep your faith. Live your doubts. God will take all of you in His love. Amen.
If you would stand and turn in your hymnals to page 240, we will sing "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
Thank you.
Happy New Year. And I wish for you the courage to bring everything to God. Everything, all of who you are. Because God loves you, God created you, and God wishes for you to have new life. God wishes for you to have fullness of life. So we're going to say a little prayer for our meal, which we are about to partake because it's the fifth Sunday, and all are invited to stay for lunch today. We pray, dear God, that you will bless the food that we share in your name, that you will keep us and love us and show us the way and help us be used by you. For Jesus' sake, we pray.